Welcome back to Copper Country Today. I'm your host, Rick Allen. Joining me in the studio right now is candidate for District 5 on the Board of Commissioners for Houghton County, Sharon Stoll. Sharon, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Good to be able to sit down and talk to you as you're running. Is this your first time running for office?
This is my first time running for public office, yes.
All right. Well, I actually find that refreshing and encouraging to see people, you know, stepping up and getting involved, especially in local politics where it can be difficult and the rewards aren't always, you know, huge for doing it. Why are you doing it? What was your motivation?
So running for public office was actually a lifelong goal of mine. When I did my undergrad studies at Northern Michigan, actually double majored in pre-med and political science with the hope of running for public office someday. And I would say my interest in public office is the same or in the same vein as my interest in medicine, to support my community, to provide a service to my community.
Okay. Well, let's get to know you a little bit. You mentioned you went to Northern Michigan University. So let's start there. You graduated from there?
Yeah. I grew up in Agani. I'm a Uper by birth. And then I stayed close to home for my undergraduate training. I went to Northern, and then I attended med school at Michigan State and did my residency at one of the Mayo affiliates in Wisconsin and got right back to the UP as quick as I could. So I finished residency on August 12th and hopped in a pickup truck, 38 weeks pregnant, and drove right back to the UP to start up in Lorium the next day in my first position on August 13th.
All right. So you're up at Aspires Keweenaw right now?
I am. I am now the ER director at Aspires Keweenaw.
Okay. Wow. You're going to have time to be a commissioner? That sounds like a demanding job.
You know, you're not the first person to ask that. And actually, ER works out very well because it's more or less shift work. When you're there, and when you're home, you're home. You don't run in at 3 a.m. to deliver babies or take surgical call or anything of the sort. It's, you know, it's 100% focus when you're on, and when you're off, you're off.
Well, you're definitely used to high-stress environments. I don't know if you're quite prepared for a Houghton County board meeting, though. Those can be stressful. But you've been to a few. You've been observing. What have you been seeing?
So my first meeting, I guess one of the things that I noticed the most was that it seemed like the business was all set before the meeting ever started. There's very little dialogue back and forth. If you were the casual observer just attending the meeting to be educated on the issues, you would walk away not knowing anything more than you'd come knowing. And I think that's disappointing to me. I would like to see that changed. I would like to see more discourse, discussion during the course of the actual meeting, and minutes and, you know, I guess access to the dialogue that happens outside of those meetings.
Well, why would that be important? If the commissioners have all the information that they need, if they're knowledgeable about the subject that they're discussing, it could just be quicker for, you know, them to guys move on, get the meeting over with and make their votes. Do they need to be more transparent or bring this information out for the people that are there?
Absolutely. That's part of the democratic process is this openness, this transparency, so we, the constituents, know what's going on and know if they're acting in our best interests and know if our interests are being known.
Have you ever tried to speak to one of the commissioners, get more information?
Not individually. No, I have spoken up and asked questions in the meetings, but not outside of the meetings. I know on the schedule, I do post where the subcommittees meet. But for example, I was interested in attending one of the airport meetings, and I was looking for the minutes, and the minutes online, the last ones I'd seen posted were from April 2017. So it's really hard to know what's happening with the airport. As a, you know, concerned taxpayer, that's one of the largest money losers for the county, and yet I can't find the minutes from within the last year of what's happening at those meetings. Okay. So I would like to be able to, for example, read detailed minutes from a subcommittee meeting. And I don't think that's unreasonable. You know, working at the hospital, we keep minutes from our med staff meetings. We know what transpired, even though those are, you know, behind closed doors, so to speak.
Was there a particular issue that you had mentioned that you had been wanting to get involved in public office, but was there a particular issue that came up that was your deciding factor that you needed to get involved personally?
There's not one specific issue. You know, I think there's a number of issues facing the county. First of all, we're behind on a couple of issues. We're not up to speed or or haven't addressed some of those pressing things. The jail is obviously the one that's been getting the most attention in the media, I think. I moved here right as the last jail proposal was shot down by the community. And it was interesting to hear both sides of that story, having friends in that, you know, hillside neighborhood over there who felt like a prison was going to be built in their backyard. And then hearing people who were in favor of the jail addition back then. So the jail is just one issue, and we're going to need to work to bring the public in on that. You know, I think the League of Women Voters has been doing an excellent job trying to disseminate information to the community. The sheriff has been out there answering questions, answering a lot of the same questions over and over, with a great deal of patience, and detail in answering those questions. But, you know, maybe you attend one of those meetings and there's 40 people there. There's, you know, thousands of other county residents that are going to need to on board with this and be informed and vote in the end. So, you know, we need to engage the community in this decision-making process, because ultimately it's going to come, you know, at some cost to the community, but it can't be avoided anymore.
The county is going to be holding a series of public informational meetings for the, you know, for the public to discuss the jail project and its what the proposal on the November ballot actually means. Mm-hmm. So, are they doing the right thing? Are you supporting that move?
Getting out into the community, absolutely. I would say that I would like to see that expanded on other issues. Getting out into the townships, especially District 5, where I'm running, it's very geographically broad. Large, remote. So I think you need to get down there and bring the issues to the people. You know, the jail is just one issue, though. I think another issue where we're behind, so to speak, is that the county pensions are underfunded right now. And I really haven't heard a lot about that, you know, getting much media attention. I think how we go about addressing that is going to be important. That's not something that you would raise a millage for, but, you know, the pie is only so big. And if you increase one piece of the pie, you cut back on another piece of the pie. So again, I think the community, the constituency needs to be engaged in those sort of decision making.
Are you aware of any plan that the county currently has to address that shortfall for the back pensions?
I saw the outline of the budget, how much they would need to put in to true up the pensions. It wasn't clear to me where that money was going to come from. In other words, what part of the pie was going to shrink in order to do that.
Yeah. FERD had discussed that they're following a plan, and I know that at least once they put in money at the end of the year, may even put in as much as $1 million a couple of years ago towards paying down that balance, because it is pretty huge. I think it was something like $14 million or something that they had to, that was how much they had to come up with. And so the plan is to pay that over a long period of time. So there's something there, but you know, as you said, you weren't aware of one or see that one's going on. So
the last data I saw was I don't want to misquote, but I thought the number was somewhere about only 60% funded, 67% funded, somewhere in that range. But I don't want to misspeak and represent that as an absolute number.
Yeah. All right. Well, you're coming in, so looking to get into the District 5 seat. You've had a change of what you may have thought was your potential challenger with the primary. It's a bit of a surprise and upset with Roy Britz winning the primary over Tim Pollisard. Does that change at all your motivations, feelings, or even the way that you might run a campaign?
It doesn't really. I'm still dedicated to the campaign and trying to get the position in the end. I met Roy once at the Strawberry Fest Parade, actually went over and introduced myself and, you know, shook his hand. And he seems like a nice enough fella. I know he's got a background in as a county employee working, you know, as an undersheriff previously. And that's great. I'm sure that gives insight into the jail issue. I think from my standpoint, you know, I guess I respect the sheriff's opinion on the jail situation, and that's enough information for me to go on. The people that work there that are most intimately involved with this are telling us that the proposed addition is going to be outdated by the time it's built. To me, I listen to expert opinions, right? As a physician, I don't read I guess, a casual internet article to make medical decisions, I seek the consult of experts. And it sounds like the expert opinions are already sort of in on this jail edition. I guess I would say the other piece that I bring to the table, though, other than, you know, not having a history of being a county employee, a lot of what the county does is also to interact, for example, with community mental health, with the health department, and with the VA. That is all part of the county's engagement and the county's budget. And I feel like I have a unique position with my background in health and human services to really understand those issues better.
Well, what about that will help you as a commissioner?
My background in healthcare?
Yes, yeah.
So, for example, there's this opiate lawsuit money that the municipalities are pursuing now against the drug makers who maybe were injudicious in releasing these potent pharmaceuticals to the communities where people became addicted. If we were to obtain some of that money, I would like to see at least the option of having some detox beds available locally. Right now, the only licensed detox beds in the entire Upper Peninsula are at Market General. So that's not the same as a long-term rehab. I think in the general public, people are confused about the difference between detox and rehab. Those are two different parts of a process. We do have some rehab facilities locally, for example, the Phoenix House, but you can't detox there. You need to be medically stable to go to those places. And right now, there's no locally available way to safely detox. Neither hospital has certified detox beds.
Is there any power that the county has to make that happen?
You know, you'd have to work with the healthcare institutions that are in this community. But again, I feel uniquely qualified to do that if we were to receive a significant amount of funding.
Okay. Managing the funds going forward is going to be difficult for anybody who's going to be sitting on that board, especially with recovering from the flood. Not all of the money, it looks like, it's going to be covered through emergency assistance. It's going to strap us a little bit more. And there was also some discussion recently about what to do to try to prevent a catastrophe like that again. One idea that was floated, it's long ways from becoming solid, but was to establish drainage districts, similar to what you see. I'm familiar with the one over the Otter Lake Dam, where everybody's in a district and you're a resident there and you pay for the maintenance of the dam. So it was a similar kind of idea where if you're in a at-risk flood area, then you would have property taxes paid to go towards mitigating any dangers of future flood damage. That's on a lot of people's mind right now. They don't want to see what happened in June happen again. And right now, it doesn't take a whole lot to see a repeat as we saw in July. So as a county commissioner, where do you stand and be able to push that something like that through, or a different idea?
You know, I think all ideas are worth exploring. I think we have a lot of brain power in our community. Fortunately, we have an engineering university in our community, and I have to believe there's enough bright minds that could help us weigh in on these questions. You know, I look around the city, for example, in the Hillside, where some of the worst flooding, you know, came down, knocked out the Whoopeter building. And I think, and again, over in the development, over, you know, off Sharon there, Taco Bell. And to me, casually observing, driving out the morning of that flood on my way to do errands at 6 a.m. and encountering a flood in the middle of the road, it looked like, you know, maybe we just have too much concrete, too much asphalt, not enough green space to absorb a tremendous amount of moisture. And in talking to friends in the community, for example, I have a friend whose basement was spared, and he said, you know, his backyard is just growing up deep-seated weeds, and he felt like more or less having a rain garden in his backyard had spared his basement. And that's not to say that anybody could have anticipated this or anybody could have done something different. But I do think going forward, at least in the areas that are densely populated, we need to look at, are we reserving enough green space? Do we have rain gardens to absorb some of this runoff quickly when this should occur again? Obviously, that doesn't account for all of the damage. Chassel is green space everywhere you look, and they lost roads too. So I'm in favor of exploring all possibilities to prevent this kind of damage again. But I will say I'm amazed at how quickly the community came together and got people back on their feet. And I think it speaks volumes about the community that we live in.
Yeah, definitely. Seen some special things this summer. Seen some tragic things, but also some very, very special things. The county manages the county sheriff department, and I've sat here with Sheriff McLean before, and you know, one of the things I really feel for him is that there's just not a lot of funding for extra patrols, extra law enforcement. It's great that we finally have Upset West team here.
Mm-hmm.
But I definitely get the feel sometimes that we're fighting the drug problem, the opiate epidemic, with one arm tied behind our back in the local area. Mm-hmm. Is there anything that a county can do to be able to further support the law enforcement effort here in the county?
I mean, I would be open to hearing the sheriff's opinion on that. I do feel like working in the ER, we maintain a close relationship with law enforcement because they are the ones that bring in the patients who are either have had accidents, are suicidal, or are under the influence, impaired by substances. And, certainly there's a collegiality there. I think the average person not involved in law or healthcare would be amazed at how much time law enforcement is tied up just babysitting patients in ERs who are under the influence or suicidal. You know, every time they bring somebody in, an officer is deployed and required to, you know, sit at bedside until a bed is found for that patient wherever they're going, or until they've been deemed safe. And it's amazing. So I think part of what you're seeing all around with law enforcement being understaffed is that they're really being turned into bedside patrolmen for patients who are either mentally ill or under the influence, and you're seeing the result of a statewide and nationwide underfunding healthcare, underfunding mental health care, and being behind in the war on drugs.
All right, that was actually the next question I was going to ask. Is besides law enforcement, what are some things that we can do at the county level to be able to combat this problem, whether it is a mental health assessment, mental health assistance, or even decriminalization in certain cases, like with marijuana, so that we're not tying up the law enforcement? How do you feel?
Mm-hmm. I think having, local detox beds would be wonderful. At the county level, I do wonder sometimes, using the example of, the deputies that are tied up in the ER for, a shift and a half sitting bedside with a patient, does that really require a sheriff, or could there be sort of a paraprofessional that took on that role at a lower cost to the county? And it's not insignificant. It seems like as often as not, you walk into your shift and you see a state patrol or a sheriff's car parked outside the ER, and you kind of know what's waiting for you on the inside. So I do wonder if there's a legal option to use a paraprofessional, if you will, in that role, and not use these, highly skilled deputies and troopers to take on that job of, having to sit bedside for 8 hours.
I talked to a number of candidates that come, through here. They're either incumbents or they're running for office. Very few times is the finances of Houghton County brought up. And when our audits are done, I don't remember never getting anything other than a clean audit. From somebody that just observes those meetings and talking to somebody that would be interested in, getting their fingers dirty with the finances of the county. I don't know if that's a good word for it.
There'll be no dirty money if I'm elected.
But when you get in it, what is your view or perception on how the county is managing the money that it has available?
Mm-hmm. I took a look at the budget. Three of us candidates have sort of been running alongside of each other, co-orchestrating meetings and whatnot, so we're not, wasting anybody's time by asking the same questions two or three times. So we did sit down with the county treasurer and take a look at the county budget. I think there was some inadequacies addressed in the state audit, as I recall. One of the things that caught my eye was, you know, it seemed maybe the county is somewhat lenient on people who are behind on taxes for their second properties. I wonder if maybe we're overly lenient on people who are behind on their second property taxes. Again, I'm not saying I want to yank anybody's camp away from them, but if we're looking to balance the budget, or if we're looking to at where, what part of the pie, like I said, do you cut away at, or can we do better at? That's one thing that comes to mind is, have we been too lenient on people who are, you know, 2 years behind on taxes on a vacation home, basically.
Okay. All right. I wonder if this will be the only or final year that this is ever an issue, or at least locally. So, and it becomes that Gretchen Whitmer will come into this conversation in a second. Gretchen Jansen, who was recently appointed to the Board of Commissioners and is running for that seat this year as well, she became the first woman on the board in some time since before I got here. But she's the only the second one to serve on the board. If she wins, yourself wins, and Melissa Davis also wins, then it would be, we'll have three women. Actually, it would be a majority of women that are on the Houghton County Board. Interestingly enough, if in the Democrat ticket, which you were also on the state level, we're seeing where the Democrat nominee for governor, for attorney general, and for secretary of state, again, all it's a straight woman's ticket, and Debbie Stabenow, too, if you go with her. She's our incumbent, obviously, though. It gets brought up because it's just never, you know, we've never seen the numbers change, and in one election cycle to change that dramatically. Do you put in any thought into why that is, or does it matter at all, or does it show any sort of change in the way that people are, or who's getting involved in politics?
Yeah, I think it's a fair question. I know people have, I heard the term pink wave, which I thought maybe was a little silly, but, you know, initially I didn't want it to be an issue. I thought I don't want to be that woman that's running for county commission. I want to be that compassionate, articulate physician that's running for county commission. But I was surprised at the number of people who asked me, you know, right away and within the first few days I'd announced my candidacy, I had three different people ask me, well, what are you going to do with your kids? And I thought to myself, like, how do I answer that question? What everybody does with their children when they go to work? You get a sitter, they go to school, they manage. And I found myself wondering, oh my God, did anybody ever ask Scott Dianda what he's going to do with his kids when he runs for office, or Bart Stupak, or Ronald Reagan, George Bush, anybody? Did anybody ask them what would become of their children when they ran for office? So, I mean, I think that I have to, the fact that I have to answer that question still in this day and age tells me, you know, maybe socially we're still not where we need to be. But nevertheless, I'll continue to answer that question. My children's welfare will be fine. My kids will be fine if I'm elected to office. You know, why now? Maybe it's just time. Time has went on. I mean, I think in other more urban areas, it's not uncommon to see women holding local office, holding state office. It's just that there's always a lag, right, for people to catch up, I guess. You know, the women's, I guess, revolution was decades ago, but here we are. That said, I think I heard the first woman breastfed in Congress in the last year. That made the national news that nobody had ever, no nursing mother had ever attended a vote before. So that's interesting to me. So maybe locally, are we just coming of age, perhaps? It's not odd to me that half of the elected officials would be women, since half of the population is women. And I think maybe women bring their own unique perspective. It's not surprising to me that maybe women are underrepresented, because oftentimes we do delay career or pause our careers for to raise our families, to have children. It's multifactorial, I guess. Sure.
And as I mentioned, going all the way back to the beginning of the interview, it's exciting and refreshing to see different people running for office, regardless of their background or their makeup other than the platform that they're running on.
Right.
Because, you know, when you're one way or the other, there will be a whole lot of new faces on the Houghton County Board, as there will be in even on village and township levels, where people who have been running serving for a long time are not running again. So there is another wave of people getting involved in local politics. And, you know, I've enjoyed, you know, just sitting here with you, Sharon, and getting to know you a little bit and getting to know your ideas too. And I'm excited to see what the future holds, regardless, again, if you are. I also interviewed, you know, Roy, and I thought, you know, it was a great conversation along with him as well. So,
right.
You know, good luck to you. And thank you for taking the time to come and talk to me.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Okay. One last question, though. If somebody wants to find out about your candidacy, what's the best way for them to do it?
So I am on Facebook. I have a public site. It's Sharon Stoll for County Commission. You can find more about my views there. And I'm hoping to knock every voting door in District 5 between now and the election. So I look forward also to meeting you in person. You're welcome to email my private email as well at sharon.stollmd@gmail.com.
All right, thanks.
Thank you.
Copper Country Today, we'll be right back.